Andrew Bell, the gentleman in question, used to be described in old editions of the Britannica as cold, shrewd, self-seeking. He might not have been the most pious cleric. Perhaps like his contemporary, Parson Malthus, he didn't really believe in God at all. But as a young man following the flag, he had an eye out for the main chance. Bell found his opportunity when he studied the structure Hindus arranged for training the lower castes, about 95% of the Indian population. It might well serve a Britain which had driven its peasantry into ruin in order to create an industrial proletariat for coal-driven industry. Bell was fascinated by the purposeful nature of Hindu schooling. It seemed eminently compatible with the goals of the English state church. So as many another ambitious young man has done throughout history, when he stumbles upon a little-known novelty, he swiped it. Before we turn to the details of the Hindu method, and how Bell himself was upstaged by an ambitious young Quaker who beat him into the school market with a working version of Bell's ideas, you should understand a little about Hindu religion. After the British military conquest of India, in reality a merchant conquest, nothing excited the popular mind and the well-bred mind alike more than Hindu religion with its weird, to Western eyes, idols and rituals. Close analysis of Sanskrit literature seemed to prove that some kind of biological and social link had existed between the all-conquering Aryans, from whom the Hindus had descended, and Anglo-Saxons, which might explain theological similarities between Hinduism and Anglicanism. The possibilities suggested by this connection eventually provided a powerful psychic stimulus for the creation of class-based schooling in the United States. Of course, such a development then lay far in the future. The caste system of Hinduism, or Brahmanism, is the Anglican class system pushed to its imaginative limits. A five-category ranking, each category further subdivided, apportions people into a similar system to that found in modern schools. Prestige and authority are reserved for the three highest castes, although they comprise only 5% of the total. Inescapable servility is assigned the lowest caste, a pariah group outside serious consideration. In the Hindu system, one may fall into a lower caste, but one cannot rise. When the British began to administer India, Hindus represented 70% of a population well over 100 million. Contrast this with an America of perhaps 3 million. In the northern region, British hero Robert Clive was president of Bengal, where people were conspicuously lighter-skinned than the other major Indian group, having features not unlike those of the British. Hindu castes look like this. The upper 5% was divided into three twice-born groups: Brahmins, priests and those trained for law, medicine, teaching, and other professional occupations. 2. The warrior and administrative caste. 3. The industrial caste, which would include land cultivators and mercantile groups. The lower 95% was divided into 1. The menial caste. 2. Pariahs, called untouchables. The entire purpose of Hindu schooling was to preserve the caste system. Only the lucky 5% received an education which gave perspective on the whole, a key to understanding. In actual practice, warriors, administrators, and most of the other leaders were given much diluted insight into the driving engines of the culture, so that policy could be kept in the hands of Brahmins. But what of the others, the masses, as Western socialist tradition would come to call them, in an echoing tribute to the Hindu class idea? The answer to that vital question launched factory schooling in the West. Which brings us back to Andrew Bell. Bell noticed that in some places Hinduism had created a mass schooling institution for children of the ordinary, one inculcating a curriculum of self-abnegation and willing servility. In these places, hundreds of children were gathered in a single gigantic room, divided into phalanxes of 10 under the direction of student leaders, with a whole ensemble directed by a Brahmin. In the Roman manner, paid pedagogues drilled underlings in the memorization and imitation of desired attitudes, and these underlings drilled the rest. Here was a social technology made in heaven for the factories and mines of Britain, still uncomfortably saturated in older yeoman legends of liberty and dignity, one not yet possessing the perfect proletarian attitudes mass production must have for maximum efficiency. Nobody in the early years of British rule had made a connection between this Hindu practice and the pressing requirements of an industrial future. Nobody, that is, until a 34-year-old Scotsman arrived in India as military chaplain.